Welcome to episode 22 of the School Marketing Podcast, where we're going to talk all about email marketing, learning to communicate not just internally, but to those prospective families as well.
Welcome to this edition of the School Marketing Podcast with your hosts, Randy and Donnie Vaughn, also known as the Marketing Twins. In each episode of this one-of-a-kind podcast, you will hear practical marketing tips to help grow your school through the 3 R's of school marketing: recruitment, retention, and referrals. So, do you have 14 minutes and 29 seconds? Are you ready to take your school marketing to the next level? Then let's get started.
Welcome to this episode of the School Marketing Podcast. My name is Randy.
And I'm Donnie.
And we're here to help you grow your school through the 3 R's of school marketing: recruitment,
retention,
and referrals.
I like the way we do that.
Today, we're going to be talking about email marketing. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about when it comes to marketing your school. It is often one of the most misunderstood topics when it comes to school marketing. Donnie, tell us what you think is the most common reason that it's misunderstood.
Well, I think the most common thing that we hear from talking with schools is we'll ask them if they've been using an email marketing system, and we always get to, oh yeah, we've been doing that.
Sure. Yeah.
But then what we start to find out is, who are they emailing? And what do we get the most? The answers are
current families,
which is good. You need to be communicating with current families, and email marketing is a great way to do that. But there's a whole other element to that that they're not thinking through. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, is how do we communicate via email marketing to the prospective families, because
right.
That's a key element. You have re-enrollment with current families, but enrollment is a big deal, and you can reach a lot of folks through email marketing.
So when we're talking about email marketing, like Donnie said, we're not just addressing those current families where you send out, many of you send out an email marketing newsletter. Sometimes it's once a week. I've actually subscribed to probably several of yours out there, because I like to scour the internet and look for what other schools are doing to get ideas. And sometimes I receive those once a week, and sometimes I get them once a month, which honestly seems a little infrequent to me.
Yeah.
But all of those are sent out to current families. So you get the, you know, here's what's been going on, here's what will be going on, here's some of the, you know, highlights, the events, the birthdays, the any number of things that are going on for current families. I don't really think that would be the most appropriate way to communicate with prospective families, even if you were to add them to the list, your same list, because while they would certainly get a snapshot, it's like a, electronic scrapbook, I guess, of everything they missed not being there at your school, which, you know, I guess it's some way you're showing them what they missed out on if they're not there. But honestly, what I think it does is it communicates more that they're an outsider still. And I think by addressing current families about everything that they've got going on and all the highlights, that I think you tend to push prospective families out as excluding them. And I think that's, you know, probably not the way to go. Many of you who are in churches, you often have newsletters that go out as well. And you can imagine if you're a visitor to a church and you get a newsletter and that's all they talk about is internal stuff. They use internal jokes. Everybody knows Miss So-and-so. Everybody knows Pastor So-and-so. Well, as an outsider, you don't know all that.
Right.
And it can make you feel even more of an outsider.
So you think we need to have two different newsletters that go out? Is that what you think is the best approach, or what do you think?
I do, actually. There might be times where you might combine them all into one list if you're making an announcement about something you're doing in the community, something significant. Maybe it's a homecoming event that, you know, I think you could certainly talk about that. Maybe it's a Christmas program that you have for your elementary grades that they're putting on. I think that could be appropriate. But certainly, beyond the normal, you know, highlights of the last week or the last month, I would look at registering or putting their prospective families into their own list somehow. I know we use Constant Contact
right.
for emailing, and you can segment out your list that way. And I would certainly make a list like that and put my prospective families in there. So let's go through, just to remind people, how would they get – people, prospective families, how would we get them into the newsletter? Where would we find their email addresses? I'm sure you probably had some of them. But
yeah, I mean, some of them they already have. They don't even know it. They signed up at some event and put them in a folder and,
right.
and put them in a file folder and never looked at them again.
Many of you have got cards, you know, in a file drawer with email addresses.
Right.
And you may have even put them in something like Outlook or something.
Yeah.
But let's look at using that more in constant contact where you can separate that into a list like that.
Yeah,
but where else could you get?
Well, you could, number one, first and foremost, you'd want to have it on your website somewhere where prospective families could sign up to be a part of the newsletter and maybe be very specific, because each list that you sign up on is probably going to have you have their own unique sign up list. But there's ways that you could do that. I'll let you administratively figure that out, but let people have an easy way for them to go in and put their information in. And just a little side note, I certainly wouldn't ask for the moon on everything. Don't ask for
right.
kids' names and addresses and point of contact, all that kind of stuff. And just simply start with email, maybe a first name, last name.
Right.
That's all you need to ask for. Anything more than you ask, even if it's not required, don't ask for all that stuff. It's not necessary to have all that, right?
I think a lot of us, we get the idea that, well, we get, just as if they came into a campus tour, we would want to know all that information, and they would fill out an information card. So why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't we ask for all that information in email? And you don't want to do that because it is just it's a barrier of entry.
Yeah.
Somebody might give up. They're on an open house tour. They're expected to fill out all that information, but. It is premature, really, if they're signing up for an email newsletter to, like you said, give all that information. So really just name and email address is about all that you really, really want.
If you had it on your website but then had it at an open house event, I mean, you might, just simply because I know how people write and I'm certainly one of those, rather than having a form there that they fill out, that's certainly some way to do that. Ask people to. There's a computer right there. Have a Mac sitting right there that they pull up a chair and they fill out some information, put their address in, email address and stuff, and sign up right there. Maybe give them a drawing if they'll sign up. Their name will be entered into some drawing where they could get some kind of gift card or something like that. Let's see. What are some other ways that they could?
You mentioned the website. I mean, certainly having that on your website would be one area. One of the things that I would always encourage people to do is. What are they going to get when they sign up for the newsletter?
Yeah.
It might be the perception of somebody to say, well, one, you're probably going to send me one of two things. One is you're just going to send me a list of everything that's going on and maybe the next open house. And it's really just going to be, I'm signing up. My perception is I'm signing up to be on your marketing list so you can send me emails the next time you have a marketing event. And that's not probably the best. And you know, they also perceive that you are going to be heavily promoting yourself to them. I would just flip that around, think in kind of counterintuitive to say, what could we offer prospective families? Maybe we could turn our newsletter to say, hey, sign up for our newsletter. And yes, you're going to send them information. They're going to see in your newsletter events and marketing events and open house type things. In promotional material, but what if we turned our newsletter into something like, hey, if you want to sign up for a newsletter once a month and once every other week, we send you homework tips for your or parenting tips or something, or maybe even for those
educational something.
Something educational, useful, even like for college seniors to say how to apply for financial aid, where to find financial aid for college. Those are some important, useful kind of things that you could include in your newsletter, and those are very shareable as well. So you have the opportunity to get more people into your email newsletter.
One of the other ways that I was thinking about sharing, getting people that is just using social media, on Twitter or Facebook. Mention that. You probably have people following you on Twitter and liking you on Facebook who are not current family members. They're checking you out ahead of time. And so don't talk on Facebook just like you're talking to current family members. Remember, there are prospective families that are looking at you. They're seeing how you operate. And if at some point you put on there a status update on Facebook that says, if you're not a current family member, we'd love to communicate and mention some of the things you just talked about. I think that would be a great way of getting that opportunity for them to sign up there at another. Just using another resource like that.
And I think in the last couple of minutes we have, one of in your email newsletter, I would certainly look at, this is where content, high value content, we mentioned the idea of parenting resources or even, I mean, things that would be useful for a family, maybe ways to save money, maybe any number of things that would be useful for them as a family, not necessarily related to you as a school. But this is where by developing, and you tie this into a blog that you have on your website, you could go back to a previous month and look for a resource article. Maybe it's a blog article written by the head of school. Maybe it's somebody from the elementary principal or one of the teachers about how to do with how to get, you know, maybe the five qualities of a straight A student, and maybe have one of the teachers or the principal say, these are the characteristics I see. They get rest at home. They read well. They have involved families.
Right.
And you can make that a blog post, and then in your email newsletter, you have a link to that. And that's the important part, is using your email marketing, not just as a text only and pictures only. You really want to keep it fairly brief because people don't have a lot of time, and draw people from that email to your website.
Sure. Absolutely. I think that's and so one of the things I want to mention kind of in our time here, we've just got about a minute or so. We use Constant Contact. That's the recommended one from our standpoint. You can go to yourschoolmarketing.com, and on the homepage there, there's a link to Constant Contact, a little square on the right side. If you'll look at that, you know, click that button and get started. And it's a great way to get started on your own account. I will say this too, that if you you want to set up one account for your school, it doesn't mean that everything has to come from, you know, if you're Janie and you set it up, doesn't everything have to come from Janie? It's, you have one account for your school, but you can have emails go out from Bob, the principal, or Suzanne, the superintendent, or whoever it might be. So have the account, but then use different ways to names to send out different emails depending on what the circumstance is. I'd also encourage people to go to ours, sign up for our newsletter, yourschoolmarketing.com/newsletter, and you'll see a way that you can subscribe to our newsletter right there on the page, and we so sure hope that you do that.
And like Donnie said, our newsletter is filled with marketing tips. We do that. We share links back to previous blog posts that maybe we've just currently written, maybe a recent podcast episode, maybe an article we found somewhere else that we think would be useful in marketing your school. So hope you sign up for that. That usually comes out every other week. It's been a little slower this past summer, but during the regular school year, we're sending those out every other week. So please sign up for that. Like you said, go to yourschoolmarketing.com/newsletter. And again, just think in terms of a way of being useful, driving people to your website from your email, and certainly targeting those emails to the appropriate list. And certainly as you do segment those lists out, you could be thinking about lower grades in upper school. You could do those kind of things, especially in Constant Contact. And like Donnie said, those links are all on our website. So look forward to sharing more marketing tips with you in the next episode. So we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to the School Marketing Podcast. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion, please drop Randy and Donnie a line at yourschoolmarketing.com/voicemail. For more school marketing ideas, follow them on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube at yourschoolmarketing.com.